Everybody's here, I see. Okay, very good. So how was everybody's Yom Tov? Very good. Okay, so we're holding, I think, Beisod Hasheni. Okay, so the first Yisoid was the Metzias HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We spoke about that, and how we define HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzias and what it is and so on. Vayisod Hasheni, Yichudo Yis'ala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being alone, single. Vehu. Shezeshu Ilas HaKoil Echad. This Sheirish of the Bria, and the cause of the Bria, is one only. Loi ke'echad asug, not one in the sense I have one piece of bread here. There are many pieces of bread. I just happen to have one. So where one is not an essential quality, but just happen an incidental quality. Veloi ke'echad hamin. And not like one type, which means that you have like a group of people, and this is one person, a specimen. V'loy ki'ish echad hamurkav, asher ischalek l'achadim rabim, and not like one person, but who can be subdivided into subcategories. V'loy echad kiguf hapashut ha'echad b'minyan, asher kalachol kein soif, nor even like a piece of cloth, that it's one piece of cloth, I have a roll of cloth, it's not made of pieces, but I can subdivide it, and I will get discrete subdivisions, I'll get discrete pieces. So it's not one in the sense that you something which can be subdivided. It is one in a way that there is nothing like it. This is the second yisod. And this is we learn from Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's where it says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Echad. Now, I'll take a look at Sefer Hamada, which we said is pretty parallel in Yisaydi Atayra to these in Yanim. And let's see what he says over here. Interestingly enough, he lists he puts in something. He says four halachas, which are like the first one, and then he adds that this matzui is a lekai ha'olam adin kol ha'aretz v'amanigas agalgal v'ubaruch hamsav esib lo yad b'lo yiguf v'diyas tov ezeh mitzas esei shem lech hashem alekecha. Then he says, "V'cholamal al dait sheish shem eloya acha chutz mizah oivet b'loy sasei." So the Rambam sort of adds the piece about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the manig of the bria, and so on. So I think the distinction is because in Sefer Hamada, the Rambam is talking about the Seder HaMitzvahs. There is a logical structure, but there's a Seder HaMitzvahs. And in the mitzvah of Anoichi Hashem, it says Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. So Hashem Elokecha means the package deal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is both that metaphysical entity that we spoke about, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Elokim of everything and the Manhig of the Bria and so on. Over here, he's just giving the Ikrim in a logical way, vis-a-vis the you know, apikarsim, the people not maminim, he's sketching out the yesedus of emuna. In yesedus of emuna, there's really two separate entities, and it belongs further down the line. So sefer amari is going in the it's based on mitzvahs, like the whole sefer of Mishneh Torah is. So in the mitzvah form, it's included in anoch Hashem akech both entities. He had to sort of flesh that out. Whereas in the Akdama Techelik, he's just telling us the seichel dike, illogical ikrainis. That's point one. I want to focus in on a second nekuda here. He says over here, this is the Yisrael Hasheni HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. So it is a mitzvah. I would say Shema Yisrael Hashem Hashem Echad. But why in the world is it so important that this, to make this yesod? It's not incorporated in the first one, really. So it's not part of that essential description. But it is its own thing, and it's an emes about Kadosh Baruch Hu. But just because it's an emes, why is it so critical to list it as the second plank in emunas? I mean, in the pasuk tells us the mitzvah to believe it. So fine. It's also shver. Why is it so critical? This is Shema Yisrael. We say Hashem Echad. But certainly, when you're talking about the logical construction of what we believe as a God, why is that important? So the next piece he does speak about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's incorporeality, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a goof, and therefore, and he says over here that that's part of not believing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a goof is only possible in in the achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the belief it's In the Rambam, in Yesod HaTorah, explains that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was more than one, then he must be a goof. Now, that whole piece over here, he says he puts under the category of Hashem Ken Shem Echad, and then he goes on to say that it's also Meforish Neterah, because Shabbat doesn't have a goof. So in Yesod HaTorah, it's sort of it's part of the Emunah and Achdus is part of the Emunah that Shabbat has no goof. Let's stop a minute and discuss the logic that he uses there. The logic, he says, is as follows. If I go along and I say, someone tells me, I have a friend, and let's say I tell somebody I have a friend named Reuven. So I say, yeah, I know Reuven so-and-so. He says, no, I have another friend, Reuven. Oh, that's nice. So besides Reuven Goldstein, who else do you have? I have another friend, his name is Reuven Goldstein. I say, oh, that's fascinating, two friends named Reuven Goldstein. Where do they both live? They live in the same house. Okay, like in which room does he live? Which room? They live in the same room, they occupy the same space. So I look at the guy baffled and I say, okay, I get it. This guy sleeps in the bed from 12 at night to 6 in the morning. This one sleeps from 6 in the morning to 12. No, they occupy the same place, the same space at the same time. And so I ask him, is there any difference? And I say, no. So how do you distinguish this Reuven Goldstein from this Reuven Goldstein? So I'll say, well, they're just two of them, but they look the same, they are the same, they occupy the same space and same time. Then where's the chiluk? I cannot say two unless I draw a line where A finishes and B begins. I cannot have two entities, so I can have it in terms of time. I can say he occupies it in the morning, he occupies it at night. Fine, so that's two entities. But Achdus, if I cannot have two without some element of finiteness. And that would automatically feed into that. So that's the way he proves it in Yesodei HaTorah. And but the mitzvah, the chiyuv is Shmaras Hashem Elokecha. That's a chiyuv. It's a mitzvah. Believe like that, and Yetzer Hara has it there. Over here, he doesn't go into that, into Bechal explaining its kesha with that Hakadosh Baruch Hu no guf. It's the next piece, and he does not really explain it in terms of an extension of this. So the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Echad needs to stand on its own. Not because of that. It might be true, but it stands on its own. So, 2 points. First of all, it stands as a pasuk, he says. But why is this such a necessary piece that this is from the Yisraelik Emun? It's number two. And we say it. We say the proclamation of faith is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So I had a few nekudas that I thought about. One was, as it's a natural follow-through of the first point, because you can't have, the minute there are two, for instance, I have two apples. The minute I have two apples, it tells me that there is something, a shoresh from which apples originate that is prior to both of them. Let's give a simple example. If I see two vases that look exactly the same, so I say, oh, there's a factory that stamps out and, you know, it's these vases and ships them off. If I see two vases, they don't look alike, and I can tell they're both handmade, and I say, well, this vase came to this world as this vase. It wasn't preceded by anything. It's its own metzias. But if I see two are the same, that tells me that it comes from some sort of common ancestor. The way in evolution they trace back, the tree of life, what they call, where you have diversification coming from one shoresh. So the minute I see two of something, I say, ah, there's a klal bigger than that. So these vases are made by, I don't know, the Emerald Company. So Emerald Company precedes, and then all these vases are just produced by Emerald Company or whatever. So one point is, in order for us to really believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yesh Mayan, it can only be if it is one. If it is anything other than one, two come from some common point of origin. One that has parts to it, each part had to come on its own, because, and then be put together. That's by the definition, that's what parts means. So this emuna is a necessary piece in the first one. That is true. And maybe that's a reason why he says it. There's another reason, and I think this is an again for future things in the Rambam. The only way I can have an absolute moral standard is if they are if there is one ruler to measure everything by. So, Lamashal, let's take something in halacha. In the old days, there was only one din, one halacha. Whatever Sanhedrin Paskin, that was halacha. Period. So halacha was absolute. There was no ifs, ands, and buts. Anything Sanhedrin Gadol, anything Bezer Gadol Paskin, Sanhedrin Paskin, was the halacha in that the beginning, the end, and the middle of the halacha. That was it. Once you don't have a Sanhedrin, and it goes by Rabbanim and Poskim, so there are many Poskim, there are at least two Poskim, and even if there's only one Poskim, it happens to be, but there could be two Poskim, so then there is no absolute halacha. I can never tell you doing Shaloi Kiddin, because I can tell you I Paskim, but someone else passes differently. So in the bigger picture, if you want to define morality in terms of that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set as being the good and the bad, so if there are two gods, then I no longer have any absent morality. At best I can say is, I'm most comfortable with the God A instead of God B. There is no, I cannot put down an absolute standard. So achdus is very important for anything that will come afterwards in terms of Torah. If there are many gods, then each god has his own shita, and the gods may happen to agree, may not happen to agree. There's a in the vikuach of the Ramban with the Galach, he asked him. So they were talking about the Trinity versus the one, and the Galach told him, "Well, you'll admit that there is. You can define it as the will, the intellect, the this, that, the other thing, you know." So the Ramban says, "Listen. Bottom line." Those three elements that you've defined as aspects of the deity, can they disagree with each other or not? If they can disagree with each other, you have three gods. Because maybe the Father thinks X and the Son thinks Y and the Holy Spirit thinks Z. So then we're talking about three gods, and no amount of language is going to rectify that. On the other hand, if those three can never disagree, then basically you're simply putting three names down for the same person. You know, this person's name is Yaakov, and his friends call him Yankel, and on his passport he's called Jack. You're talking about the same person. You're telling me three, you're describing three different angles, but it's one and the same. So make up your mind. If there is to be any one a standard where we say Ratzon Hashem, Chachmasay, or whatever it is, there has to be one and only one. Finally, one more area that I think is very, very nogea in terms of Avodas Adam, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Echad or not. The Rambam writes in his Hakdama to Pirkei Avos that Chazal said gave a very succinct statement that is profounder than all profound works, and that is Chol Maaseh Yehi L'Shem Shamayim Shenema B'Chol Drachecha Da'ehu. And the Rambam says this pasuk absolutely encapsulates everything in a person's avoda. It means everything a person does becomes unified through doing it for Ratzon Hashem. So a person can arrain and has to arrain everything that he does towards that one tachlis, which is Avodas Hashem. So he's gotten all the pieces. So I learn because I want to understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I daven because I want my heart to get close to him. And I eat, I sleep, and I drink because that's the only way I can function well. And I work and earn money because the only way I get food and drink. And I went to school and studied a trade in order to work because that's the only way I built up panasa. As long as a person makes that honest cheshbon, then he's good. Then that's everything is focused on one thing. If there are two gods, then you're not dovuk in either one. I mean, maybe on Sundays I like this, the God 1, on Mondays it is God 2. It doesn't mean, it automatically takes away from me the possibility of focusing everything around one inyan. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Echad obligates me that all my ma'isim should be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why doing things that are not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a pagam. Baal Tanya says, you know, he speaks in Tanya, it's a severe pagam. Now, two caveats. First of all, obviously, we're nowhere near Madrega that we're holding anywhere near that. And for us, at best, what we can do with a piece of information like that is to ask ourselves, in general, I have a chance to enlarge my business a lot, but it'll take some time away. I have a chance to do X or Y or Z. And you ask myself, what's the toilets I get out of it? Where's it going to? Why is it important? I can sometimes say I need time to chill out. I don't function well and I need an hour, two, a week, two, whatever it is. As long as the Cheshvan Nefesh is genuine, then that's fine. That's part of a bigger picture. Nobody can work 24/7, just be, you know, all the time totally involved in it. So a person has genuine needs and he can say, okay, I need to do that. But at the end of the day, a person can make Cheshvan Nefesh and say, why am I doing what I'm doing? And does it fit in this big picture over here? So that's the Inyan HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus. And that's why, in a certain sense, Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shemayim is described in the Pasuk of Hashem Hashem Echad. We don't, in knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Sheirish of the Metzia, the Seidu Rishon, Nanoch Hashem Alekecha, there's no Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shemayim. There's nothing there that is really giving me any type of Oil Malchus Shemayim. Masha'in came when I am mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Masha'in came when I am mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, meaning if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, then nothing else in the Bria exists but one. And so I'm putting my first statement to lie if I do things that are other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the belief that I'm doing something worthwhile. So the attitude of a person to earn money without a gvul, just because he can earn money without a gvul, and it's become his life to realize himself by earning a lot of money, that's a sort of moving away from a real emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if a person at least says, I can't help myself, I have a craving for money and I can't help myself, so fine. So then the person is sort of, at least he recognizes that what he's doing is senseless, because the real place is Shach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is less. If a person feels that he's extremely good at raising money and that way we'll be able to do a lot of good things with it, and that's his personality and those are his abilities, better than doing something else, that's also fine. But the person needs to hold it up to one cheshbon. There's no such thing as this is also something worthwhile. The idea, you know, a person retires, now I'll enjoy life. When enjoyment becomes a tachlis, that means there's another pole in the bria that's your compass can face to. I always tell Lova, I remember when we were growing up, I went to a school that was sort of, I guess, noticed it was called a middle road school. It was called RJJ, it was the old RJJ. And as was not uncommon in those days, the English and Hebrew department were run by two different people, and they really didn't have anything to do with each other. And some of the English teachers were saying things that really, I mean, looking in retrospect, was kind of shocking. And one of our English teachers, he was a Christian, and he was a good person. He stayed away from theological discussions. But once he asked the kid, I don't know, there was some discussion, he said, you know, I don't understand, if you people are so ruchnis and everything is all ruchnis, why is it that you're looking so hard to make money? Something along those lines. And he asked it, you know, he asked it in very innocent matter of fact. He wasn't out to pick a fight. And when a kid is answered, that he was, you know, he thought like very hard, and he answered an answer that I think was in line with the subtle message of the school, but definitely not a right answer. He said, we're taught that a person needs to have two goals in life. One is spiritual and one is material. Which in other language would be translated as shnius, two gods. At the end of the day, having fun, having accomplished, is, you know, having built himself a nice mansion and having a lot of money, is a goal in life and a fulfillment in life, and having a nice relationship with God is a fulfillment in life. So he's saying there are two things in the Bria. That's something which is hefech of what the emes is. So the Shmaya Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it's a yesod for everything that will be coming further in terms of avoda. Here the Rambam is listing, in these disorders, he's listing now four yesodos in terms of describing God. So he doesn't yet, he's not using it here for that, but this yesod of Echad is very, very crucial in Hemshech HaDvarim. Okay, v'yesod HaShlishi, the third yesod, which is going to be really, yes, please. Yeah. Okay. So there's a dialogue of between Aris, between Socrates, I think it's Phaedrus, if I'm not mistaken, where Socrates poses the following question: is what the gods do good, or the gods do that which is good? Meaning, is there something called good, and then Hashem, God, the gods, I mean, they were talking about idols, they are, you know, like really nice guys, and therefore they do the things that are good. So good it's a meaningful description preceding God and the gods. And the gods, one of the descriptions of gods is that they're good people, great people, and therefore they'll definitely always do good. So if I tell you somebody's a great tzaddik, it means he does things that the Shachar says are very, very good things to do. Or anything the gods do, by definition, is good. Good means the activities of the god. It's like, you know, sometimes it's what you call descriptive or nominative. Some, you know, the queen's manners, are they the perfect manners because the queen was taught to have perfect manners, or the queen simply sets, you know, and whatever she does becomes that? That's the question that he poses. And obviously, like Kedarka Bakoda Sakri runs circles around the guy back and forth, because neither of the two is satisfactory. If you tell me that the gods do the good because it's good, because they're great people and that's what they're doing, so then the word good, so then we still don't have the answer to what good is. To tell me that what the gods do is good is simply telling me that you know, so-and-so speaks beautifully. It does not describe what a beautiful speech is. On the other hand, if whatever gods do is good, then the word good certainly doesn't mean what we mean it to mean. Then it just means we're substituting a word for it that's not right. So you tell me whatever God does is what God does. There's no other meaning of it. That's the way he phrases the issue. So let's take it back to what you asked about Tov. Who was it, Svi or Alex? I forgot. I can't identify it, the voices. Alex. So let's ask ourselves, so how do we understand that by Hashem? So the definition will be a two-stage definition. One is that just like whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world, that's the point of origin for the world. On its chitzonius is existence. Maisav Yisbarach, or Chochmos even, is the mitzias, and Ritzono is the toiv. So whatever Ratz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an animal with a certain purpose to it, created certain human activities, economics, marriage, agriculture, and so on, the halachas are the Ratzon that he put in the Bria. So he is certainly the origin of all that is Tov, by definition. Now, there's one extension to that. We as people were given an affinity and a sense of relating to the good in a positive way. Just like we are given a sense of symmetry. Symmetry could have just been a boring physics concept. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed us with some innate sense that we like things that are symmetrical. They're pleasing, they're pleasant. We consciously and subconsciously look for things that are symmetrical. So the same is true. So we have, at its core, symmetry is simply a a certain mitzius, and also we relate very, very positively to symmetry. Now, we relate very positive to toiv. That's what we call human conscience, and our nature is that we want the toiv, we strive for the toiv. We may sometimes make mistakes about what's tov, and so on. But so when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is toiv, we're saying it in two ways. We're saying, first of all, whatever it is that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the definition of tov. And then we say, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tov, and darkness of tov, lahetiv. It's sort of in the definition of tov. The second thing is, I tell a person, look at yourself, examine yourself, what's the right word for it, critically or with depth, and ask yourself, what do you want in life? What are you searching for? And a finer and nobler person, or a person that has more fine and noble moments, will say, tov. I want the good, the noble, the fine. So we say, okay, that you'll find in Torah, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're not limiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because tov is that which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In its pnimius, it's a description of a pnimistic equality rather than a chitzonis equality. It's meaningful to us because we were given the same nekuda, the chelek ha'chayim mimal yearns for that, thirsts for that, and relates to that. So tov has in itself two shades of meaning, and they both complement each other. I also heard once from Rabbi Shapiro, the word tov is similar to hatavas haneros, which means to ensure the constant flow of the oil from the neros. So when you mativ something, when you mativ the wicks and so on, you're ensuring it, the hemshechius, the continuity of some quality. The word ra comes from teroim b'shevet barzel, which means to break up into pieces. A trua is a broken sound. So the tov is that which is continuous from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is a hemshech from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us of Hashpah in that. It hasn't been cut off on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that's toiv, as opposed to ra, which is something that is broken up and disjunct from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that would be another way of describing the two. But so tov is certainly not limiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's the other way around. Yeah. No, what are you asking? I'm waiting. Yeah. But it's called tov, but that tov is not a meaningless description. If I say that whatever you like is Alex, is Alex's opinion, I haven't said anything. It's just a description. Whatever you think is Alex's opinion is Heino Hach. It's a tautology. But if I come along and I say, I'm talking about Toiv as a quality that's meaningful to me, that I'm searching for, and I say you'll find it by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Toiv is that which emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now I have a definition that's true to source and yet very meaningful to me, because it's not just Tov. I feel for Tov and I want Tov, and where do I find Tov? What is the good in the Bria? Now I have a definition that allows for it. It tells me where to find it. But it's that which emanates from HaKadosh. Tov is that which emanates from HaKadosh. The moral qualities described by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tov in the Bria. But Tov to me is meaningful because it's something that a person really yearns for. It's just like when I speak about the divine. So I'm describing something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's true. But it means to people, divine is a very positive word. Inherently, a person feels some very mysterious sense of wanting to reach the divine. When I tell them that this is divine and this is sacred, then the person, it clicks into the person as well. There's something that clicks into the person. So, it's something which has a double meaning, one of which is an apt description at its shoresh, and one is a meaningful description to me as a makabel, to me who's getting it. Correct. Exactly. The tov is ultimately, if we clear away the debris, the tov is that which we search, and that's what we're looking for, and therefore correct. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon Be'etzem, and it's meaningful to us and sought by us because it's for a person with a real Pnimius, this is what he's looking for. It also reflects itself that everything else fits into place. May all the other parts of the Bria fit into place. The Geshem and everything else, Tov in a physical sense, clicks in automatically because there's a continuum. But that's secondary meaning. Okay, good. So we'll hold it here. So we're holding my Yisod HaShlishi. Okay, take care. Good night. All the... Yeah, bye.